So I really love to travel. I love traveling. I love seeing the world. I love seeing all kinds of just all the events, the cultures, the food, all the things that come along with traveling. But I especially like our national parks. Here in the United States, we are incredibly blessed with a national park system that, really pretty much any kind of geography, any kind of terrain, we have that here in our own nation, whether it be the swamps of Florida or the mountains of the Grand Tetons or anything in between, desert, you name it. We have all of that right here at home in our own nation, in the national parks. And part of why I love national parks so much is, for me anyways, when I go there and I see the beauty of creation, I see the beauty of what the artist has put together, I see the fingerprints of the artist embedded. I see the signature of the Lord embedded in the beauty of creation. But I'm also aware that not everybody shares that same sentiment. And I just recently came across an online forum that's the Google reviews, negative Google reviews of the national parks. And I wanted to share some of these with you because they're real good. So here's the first one, all right? This is from Death Valley National Park in California. It was boring. A ghost town, really. I was charged $23 a night just to be harassed by a snake while walking around. One star. Okay. Great Sand Dunes National Park out in Colorado. It's $25 to get in, and it's basically just a lot of sand. You don't say. One star. Okay. Great Smoky Mountains National Park, North Carolina and Tennessee. It has some falls and streams, but had nothing but toddlers peeing and pooping in the water. One star. This is my personal favorite. Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Absolutely horrible disappointment. There wasn't a single pickleball court in sight. One star. Okay. All right, Father, where are you going with this? Here's the thing. Here's when I think about that, and I think about how much I love the national parks and being able to see and experience those things. But not everybody receives or appreciates the same thing that I do. When I come to this gospel, there's a couple of things that we hear that Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and in joy goes and sells all that he has and buy it." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. He finds one of great price. He goes and sells all he has and buys it. In both of these instances, and a number of different examples that Jesus uses for the kingdom of heaven, the person who is either, in the case of the treasure, he stumbles upon the treasure. Oh, look at this treasure, buried treasure. But he recognizes what he found. This is something good, right? The merchant, he's been searching his whole life. He doesn't come across this pearl by accident. He's been actively searching for it. He knows what he's looking for. He's in the business of pearls, but when he finds this one, he knows this is far more expensive than all the others. He knows he finds something, and he's willing to sell everything else in order to get this thing. But in the case of the national parks, where you just walk in and you look around like, well, this stinks. One star. I'm out of here. And by the way, I did do that for one national park. It was Badlands National Park up in South Dakota. And I don't even feel bad about this because when I went there, it was about this time of year, late July. And it was 113 degrees outside. And I stepped out of the car and I was wearing flip-flops. And they started melting to the asphalt. And so I'm like, nope. I took a picture, got back in the car, and I was out of there. So, and actually, true story, that same day, there was somebody that got lost out there and ended up dying from heat stroke. So I don't feel bad about that at all. One day I'll go back, but that's my experience of taking a picture, and I'm out of here. But here's my point, is that I think, unfortunately, a lot of us have that national park attitude when it comes to our faith. I've been to Mass. I've prayed a rosary. I tried that. It didn't work. I didn't feel anything. Didn't get anything out of it. One star. I'm out of here. And it, as much as I would like to sit down and explain to someone, now, can you explain the beauty of a sunset? Can you explain the grandeur of mountains? When you stand beside them and you realize just how minuscule you are. The breath, the awe-inspiring of the Grand Canyon. Those things, a lot of times, you just either, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but you either get it or you don't. But when it comes to faith, when we just dip our toe in the water and tell ourselves, well, I've tried, that's it, I'm out of here. Do we miss out on a treasure, a buried treasure, that may or may not be directly in front of our faces? And that's one thing that the ability to discern what is most important. I think that's the other piece the church is trying to get us to meditate on, which is why our first reading today comes from King Solomon. Now, maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't, but I think it's really interesting that the church pairs our first reading today. They could have picked from the entire Old Testament, and this is a reading they chose to pair with today's gospel. God shows up to King Solomon. All right, King Solomon, what do you want? You name it. It's yours. And instead of wishing for wealth or beauty or success or the heads of his enemies, he asks the Lord for wisdom. I think the correlation here is he knew what was valuable. He knew what was most important. And I think for you and I, a lot of times, maybe we know that, but we certainly don't live it out. And the truth is, what is the single most valuable commodity that you have at your disposal? It's not your house, it's not your boat, it's your time. By a mile, the most valuable thing you have is your time, and they don't make more of it. It's finite. It is a very limited number, limited edition. And when you're 15 years old and you think, oh, I've got my whole life, I have a lifetime. For a 15-year-old, like, life is 80 years old. That's forever. But when you're 50... not so much. And when you're 80, even less so. But the fact is, none of us are guaranteed 100 years. None of us are guaranteed 50 or 80 years. That gift of time and how we invest that time, that is, if we find something that is valuable and we go and sell everything else to have that thing. And we do that implicitly, whether we like it or not. Even if it's by default, you sell everything else to invest in what you find important. And if you come and say, Father, I can't pray, I'm too busy, that tells me you are investing your time in something that you find important. That's not prayer. In our families, in our jobs, in our work, whatever the thing is, in that little black box that's in your pocket, how much time gets sucked into social media and doom scrolling? That is a choice. Whether you like it or not, you are investing your time. So I think when we come to a gospel like this, it should be challenging us to examine what matters, what is important. And you have an hourglass, and maybe if you're 15, it looks like that big glass on the top is full. Maybe if you're 80, there's not that many grains left. But in either case, and you don't have to be 80 to begin to ask the question and to appreciate, how am I investing my time? Am I still Am I selling off what is not important in order to focus on and purchase the thing that matters? It's just so, so easy to push off the things that we know we should be doing, the things that we know the relationships that we should build, the people we're supposed to be forgiving. How many times have you heard me ask, hey, you should sign up for a holy hour. Give it a shot. Try it for a month, just 4 weeks. And you're like, oh, that's a good idea. I should probably do that. I haven't done it, but I agree that's probably, at least in theory, a good idea. I guess what I'm asking of you is if this buried treasure that's directly in front of our face, if it really is that valuable, I'm asking, I think this is what the Lord is placing in front of us, is this: go sell what you have and purchase that diamond, that pearl, that treasure, that field.